Let me welcome you to our Sunday school hour. So good to have you here today. We're going to go ahead and get things started. And we are at the beginning of what we'll call our spring revival services, special services with evangelist Caleb Reed. And glad to have you here. I know folks will be coming in over the next few moments as they are parking and maybe making their way in here on a Sunday morning, getting settled in. A little bit of drizzle out there today. True spring week we're getting ready to have here with the weather. Well, we're glad to have you. As you're coming on in, find a spot. Hopefully a friendly face will welcome you. Glad to have you at the Sunday School Hour here today. Just a couple reminders as we begin Spring Revival Special Services. Our regular Sunday School classes from teens and up will be in the auditorium today. We're taking a break, a week off from our teen class and the baptism class. That will reconvene next Sunday as there are still some things to cover in the baptism class with Brother Shane. So today we're all combined except for 6th and down. We'll go downstairs as normal, but we're glad to have you here. So glad to have evangelist Caleb Reed, his wife Emma, their children here. You'll get to know them. I see two of them, or maybe I see a third, I think. All right, I see that little head there. All right, they're here and they'll be introduced. I'm sure he'll introduce them to you here in just a little bit. Our teens got a chance to meet the whole family yesterday. Really, our services started yesterday. We had a youth, I guess you could call it, not really an activity. It was more of a Christian service lunch. And the Lord gave us an hour of no rain that allowed us to get it in. So we had lunch with the Reed family downstairs, got to fellowship and talk and laugh with them a little bit, get to see their kiddos and get to know them. And then Brother Reed gave an excellent, tremendous challenge to the young people from the Word of God. And then we went out and did about an hour of community cleanup here. Yesterday was the borough's community cleanup day. I don't know if anybody else did it, but we did it. And we had about 15 of us out, including Brother Reed and Mr. Gilbert there, who was a great help out there, all right? Except, Gilbert, you didn't pick up that dead possum, all right? I did get a picture, if any of you want to see that, all right? But if you go into Weiss after church, and a lot of you do, you'll see the bags of garbage, all right? We were told to leave them there by the borough, and they'd come pick them up Monday. So did about 8 bags, I guess, plus other various items. If you want to know what they found, ask the young people and those that helped. And that was a nasty stretch, and we decided we'd knock it out and do it. So I appreciate our team. God gave us a good window of an hour where it did not rain at all from 2 to 3, and so we got it all in. I appreciate all those that were able to come out and help be a testimony to the community. We had a lot of people honking horns going, awesome job, and all of that. And so look forward to seeing maybe some more of that in the future with our church family. We also do that on our church work days, and we've got one coming up in a month, all right? And that's certainly a great testimony to our community. And we ought to be proud of our community. We want to keep it clean, and we ought to set the pace as a church for things like that. We know that's not the most important thing, but certainly is a good thing to do. So thank you, young people, those that were able to come out yesterday. And then we had a tremendous prayer meeting last night with about 13 men that were here. Brother Reed was here, and those that were able to come out, good spirit. And we had, I guess you could say, from, I'm not sure who the youngest that was here, but we went up into even those in the 80s. And so I appreciate those age-wise that came out and just had a great spirit of prayer, asking God for his work this week with the services. I hope that you'll continue that individually and as a family, husband, wife, be praying especially throughout the day, throughout your mind, the spirit. But if you can have some designated times with your spouse, with your children, that'll play a big role in services this week, all right? So keep those things in mind. And again, you can read in the bulletin. We'll mention more about this in the morning. There are flyers to pass out to be inviting people. And if you invited somebody today, which is Friend Day, and they didn't come, you've got Monday. And if they don't come Monday, you've got Tuesday. They don't come Tuesday, you got Wednesday. They don't come Wednesday, they don't got Thursday, all right? So you got plenty of days to not quit, to persevere, and just to continue to invite folks out and do your part. And you can see the different theme nights each night there in the bulletin, all right? So keep those things in mind. Today will be a regular Sunday, but Brother Reed will be preaching all three services today. And then each night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, we'll have our revival special services, looking for souls to be saved, lives to be transformed as believers. Maybe it's God's going to work in your heart to take the next step. I pray he'll begin even now in Sunday school. All right, there's no better time to get things right with God than right now in Sunday school. Sometimes we look at Sunday school as just and that's fine. It may not be the exact same as a preaching morning service, but the Word of God's going to be opened and taught and preached. And I pray that our hearts are tender and ready to go this morning. And how do you know if you have a tender heart? It's like, well, someone said when you go to the doctor, right? If the doctor, you're doing a physical or an advanced physical to check things out, and you're doing all those things and you're bending. And if the doctor puts his hand on your shoulder and you're like, oh, I barely touched you. What's wrong? Oh, that's very hard. Well, that's a tender spot. All right. That's a tender spot. There's an injury. There's something wrong there. It doesn't take a lot of pressure to feel it. You'll know if you have a tender heart or a cold heart. All right. Not the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing happens, all right? You may not know the Lord. Maybe you're saved. You have a cold heart. You just can be distracted easy. If we have a tender heart, we respond pretty quickly to the things of the Lord. And that's certainly what we're praying for this week from each one of us. So may we not be the one to hold back revival in the church. So good to have you here today. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to have a word of prayer, open up our Sunday school hour. And then Miss Sydney's got a microphone back there. We'll just have a short time of some testimonies and praises, if you have any. And when there's no one left, then we'll dismiss our younger classes, invite Brother Reed to come on up here to open things up this morning in the Sunday school hour. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're glad to be here today in the house of the Lord on this, the Lord's Day. We're excited to be here. Lord, I pray our hearts are eager. I pray, Lord, that we would not have any resistance. I pray, Lord, we'd have no stiff neck, stubborn pride that would keep us from getting things right with God if we're saved. I pray, Lord, none of us would be holding back your Spirit working in this very church. Lord, I pray we would desire God to speak to us individually from the very get-go right here in Sunday school. And Lord, I pray we'd have tender hearts to receive the things of God. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, that we can have some times during the year where we bring in some special speakers and evangelists to preach the Word of God, preach the gospel, Lord, and just prepare us as a church to walk with you. I pray for Brother Reed today and through every service, Lord, that you'll give him wisdom to serve and as the preacher to discern just exactly what we need as a church. Lead and guide him, Lord, to the scriptures that we need. Give him the power as he preaches, Lord, as he relies on you. Lord, we ask you'll do a work even in our Sunday school classes, Lord, even here this morning. Our children's classes, Lord, in the evenings. Lord, we pray that every age group will be affected by this revival services, Lord, from young to old, Lord, beginning today. I pray for the Cremards, Lord, as Brother Cremard will be preaching, Lord, three times today at Riverview. Lord, I pray that you give him the strength, the stamina to open the Word of God, to be an encouragement, a blessing right there with the people there, then safety when they come back, Lord, tomorrow. Thank you for those that are here today, those that may be on their way. We pray we'd be looking for visitors, Lord, on this Friend Day. Lord, those that may be from Duryea, maybe someone was invited. And Lord, I pray that we'd welcome them with a true smile that starts in the heart. And Lord, I pray we'd be looking, Lord, to be able to be an encouragement to those that come today. Lord, have your way. We pray today in these services in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat.
Well, good morning. I want to thank you. And it blesses my heart to hear the church give testimony of what God's done this week. I feel like sometimes we get into a rut of we only share prayer requests and we forget how much God is doing during the middle of the week. And it's been said you should celebrate whatever you want to see repeated. And so what were we doing this morning? Celebrating what God is doing, and he does repeat it. So I was encouraged by that. Thank you very much for sharing. This morning, I won't jump to the text here real quick first. I want to just give a little bit of introduction. I think probably some of you would remember me for being here a year ago. Pastor mentioned that, but this time I get to bring my better half and then the three little ones that continue me in the process of sanctification, being my children. And so I'm grateful to have my family with me this time. So my wife's name is Emma, and some of you saw her, met her this morning. Her name is Emma. And then we've got three children, Gilbert, Ginger, and Gavin. I don't expect anybody to remember those, but they're three G's. So if you just start rattling through G names, you might come up with one of them. But 5, 3, and 1 are their ages, and we are very, very grateful for those three little ones. I was telling one of the brothers this morning, I guess about 3 months we've spent in Texas, and they've already gone through spring weather and entered into summer down there. It's in the 80s and approaching 90, and that's what we've been in for the last 3 months. And now we're returning to reality of the north, and so we've got some colds that are starting to work through our family, and I'm sure you all you're used to this because you're still heading towards spring. But we're grateful to be with you all and looking forward to this week and what the Lord would have for us. Some of the men that we gathered together last night, I mentioned this to them, and I'll mention it to you as we start this. One of the things that I am very burdened about, that I believe the Lord is stirring, is that we would be in tune with what He wants to say. I do not know the needs or the cares of this church, but Christ does. And he uses his word through his spirit to melt hearts, to convict, to challenge, to lift. In the Psalms, the scripture says that the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord causes the deer to give birth. And that idea is when God's voice speaks, he can either birth new life or he can break that which is stubborn. But either way, his voice has that much power. And I want God's voice to be able to have utterance this morning and this week. So as we get started, I'm going to pray. Could you join me silently in prayer that we would ask the Spirit of God that his voice would have that clarity and that power in our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, we need you this morning. I feel my own frailties and weaknesses for various reasons, and yet you said the power of Christ rests on those who embrace their infirmities. So Lord, as we feel the cares of our week, we want to lay those back upon you, Lord, as we feel our own needs, family needs, marriage struggles, burdens about our children, burdens about the future, burdens about finances, burdens about sin, burdens about maybe about where we would spend eternity. I ask, Father, that you would bear those burdens, that you would convict, that your word would speak like never before. Help me, Father, as the preacher, to be sensitive to that. Fill me and fill us as the hearers. We will give you thanks in your name. Amen. Okay, I want to start out by asking you a couple of questions as we start this Sunday school hour and believe that this would be, in essence, a tone setter for the rest of the week. I want to ask you, do you prioritize what God prioritizes? Every business owner or father or pastor has to be constantly conscious of slippage in vision. Every leader has to constantly be pulling back our attention back to what is the main goal, because it's very easy to get sidetracked on side goals, side avenues, and miss the main goal even though we're busy. So it's helpful for us to be reminded, are we as an individual, are we as a church body, is Independent Bible Church, is this church prioritizing what Christ prioritizes? Now, you might be already jumping to the next step and assuming, oh, I think I know which direction Brother Reed's going. He's probably going to preach on soul winning. No, I'm actually not going to. That is a priority of God, but it flows out of the first priority. He's probably going to preach on Bible reading. No, that's not what I'm going to preach on, though that would be a side application that flows out of the first priority. Oh, he must be going to preach on prayer. Well, in a sense, maybe, but that flows out of the first priority. Here's the question I have for us this morning. Do you prioritize relationship? Because God prioritizes relationship. First and foremost with him, and then second of all with those around us, both believers and unbelievers. But God, throughout the scripture, starting in the very first three verses of the Bible, emphasizes the priority of relationship. It is my experience personally and traveling in ministry that we as Americans don't always do a very good job prioritizing relationship. We want to feel needed so that we can minister to others, but we don't often want to feel needy where we need relationship with others. We want to do for God, But we often struggle to just allow ourselves to be in relationship with Him. One preacher said to me just recently, he said, "I am very glad to be a soldier for Christ. I'll do anything for God. He gives me the marching orders and I want to run." He said, run to do it is what he's saying. He said, "But my biggest struggle is just being a son. Just taking time to soak in what it means to be the son of God, a child of God." Do you prioritize relationship? I want you to go with me this morning to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to take with the time that we have this morning in Sunday school and try to lay out God's primacy or the emphasis, the priority of relationship in the entire scriptures. And we're going to start out in Genesis. We're going to hit several passages. And then this morning in the Sunday school hour, we're going to take one angle and really hone in on that. But I want to try to give maybe, if we could say, a biblical theology starting in Genesis of the emphasis of relationship. Starting in Genesis chapter 1, God chooses that the whole of His revelation in the Word would start out this way. The Scripture starts in verse 1 saying, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good." Now pause there for just a moment. Here's the question I want to ask. Where in Scripture do you see the very first relationship? Now, you don't have to answer that out loud, but I want you to think through this. Where in Scripture is the first relationship? If you asked me that question, my knee-jerk reaction would be, oh, Adam and Eve. Well, actually, it's earlier than that. Oh, Adam and God. Well, actually, it's earlier than that. In these three verses, we lay out, the Scripture lays out the very first relationship, and it was before the world was even formed. Does anybody know where it is? It is the Trinity. It was mentioned here earlier, Brother Steve's wife, I can't remember what her name is, the one that uses a cell phone in the relationship, I do remember that part. But she mentioned the fact that learning about the Trinity, do you know how foundational that is? Because the Trinity lays out how God chose to exist Himself, and it is the framework for which we are made. We are made in His image. What is that? Three persons, not parts, but three individual persons perfectly united into one united whole. I don't know of any relationship on earth that knows three individual persons that's perfectly united in one. If you're married, that's two people, and we still struggle to be united as one. But the Trinity, God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three individual persons, personalities, meshed into one, God is, can I put it this way, a relational God. He chooses to be in perfect fellowship with Himself. And when God made man in His image, He made man in the form of a relational being. Do you have a relationship with God? We're going to deal more in the morning message about relationship and how God made you as a relational being. But I want to first let us consider, do you emphasize relationship like God does? It's how He chose to reveal Himself, and it's how He made you. And then as the revelation of creation continues, we see that God works through the days of creation, 6 days creating all that is. And then in the second half of day six, He creates man made, again, made in his image. We'll look at that a little bit more this morning. And then after creating all of that, Adam comes to a conclusion that God notices first. Do you know where I'm going with this? Look at Genesis chapter 1. Oh, let's see, I lost you here for just a minute. Should have marked this one a little bit better. Where's the verse that says it is not good? Okay, right here. Chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. I want you to think, consider this. Look at verse 18. This is the conclusion that God comes to. And I don't mean conclusion like he didn't know it already, like he had new understanding, but this is how the text reveals God's understanding. That verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be, next word, I will make him an help meet for him. God makes, in the days, 6 days of creation, all that is, he forms Adam, made in his image. We're still in perfect creation. And then God stops and says, wait a minute, something's not right here. The only thing in creation that isn't good, God says, no, something's not good. It's not good that man should be alone. Now let me ask you, was man alone? It's like, I don't know. I don't want to. How do I answer that? Well, the truth is, man wasn't alone in that he had God. He had a relationship with God. And if we were to say, well, isn't God enough for Adam? Well, the truth is, God is always enough. If you have no other friendships but you have God, if all your family and your parents, as the psalmist says, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. He'll lift me up. If you have nothing else, but if you have God, can God satisfy your soul? Absolutely. He is enough. But God said, Adam needs more than just me. It's not good that he's alone. I am going to give him an help meet for him, an help made for him. This is more than just God setting the standard for marriage. This is God setting the standard for relationship. In other words, God is saying, man not only needs me, but man needs each other. Do you have the same priority that God does? If you're single, you might say, yeah, I'd like to not be alone. I have that priority. I want to be married. I'm not primarily talking about relationship and marriage. I'm saying, do you have the same priority of relationship with other people, with other believers? Because God seems to think it's a pretty big deal that we live in relationship. Later on in the New Testament, when Paul is talking about how the body is supposed to be brought together, he uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he uses this imagery of a church body being a human body, and he writes this, for as the body is one, and as many numbers, and all the members that one body being many, we are one body, so also is Christ. 16 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are dedicated to the imagery of the church body being a body that is intended to live in constant union, fellowship, and in need of each other. Do you put priority on relationship like God does? Who is your top five friends? Or if I could put it this way, if you were to get married again tomorrow, I'm talking to the people who are married, if you had to get married tomorrow, who would you pick as your bridal party? Obviously, life changes, life stages changes. Maybe when you got married, you picked college friends or high school friends. Well, if you were to get married now, who are the five people or six people, if you've got a big wedding, or nine people as some weddings go, but who would be the people that you would pick for your bridal party? Would any of those people be from this room? I think it is tragic that we have become very comfortable with being good friends with people outside of the body that God has connected us so closely with. Ladies understand this maybe a little bit more than men, but men need it just as much as anybody else. May I ask you, men, do you have a man in this church body that you are dear friends with? And I don't mean deer hunting friends with, although you could have that, but I mean a man that you have opened up with, a man that you can be transparent with, a man who comes alongside and bears burdens with you. Ladies, do you have someone in your life, even in this body, that you would say they're a soulmate? And again, I don't mean that in a relation, in a marriage state, but I'm saying like someone that I connect with, someone that I've opened up with, someone who bears burdens with me. Older ladies, have you reached out to live in relationship with a younger lady? Older men, have you looked out to enter into relationship with a younger man? Do you prioritize what Christ prioritizes? It has been my experience that American men over the age of 70 especially love to serve and give, but really struggle to be open with other men. There's a man in my life, he's in his mid-80s, who he's befriended me, and I have tried to be a help to him if I can. And it seems that he will tell me often, if you need anything, let me know. If you need cash, let me know. If you need prayer, let me know. Not long ago, he went through a cancer treatment, and some friends, they contacted me and said, hey, can we set up a GoFundMe account for him? Because he was having to fly to Mexico and do all this treatment. It was going to cost over $50,000, and that was going to make things really tight for him. And so we talked to him and said, hey, some of your friends and family want to set up a GoFundMe account. We want to help you. And he said, don't. I don't want it. And he admitted later, he said, maybe it's just my pride, but I do not want to receive that. I gotta feel like I can take care of myself. Now, I appreciate the desire to be able to stand on your own two feet. If more Americans thought that way, we'd have less welfare. However, that spirit does not help the church body when God has called us to confess our faults one to another. That spirit does not help the church body when the older men in the church are never willing to open up and be vulnerable with the other men in the church. I'm sure you've experienced this, as I have, when a preacher stands behind the pulpit and the preacher opens up about his own weaknesses. Do you know what it does for everybody else in the church auditorium? They say, oh, that so encourages me, because you're not perfect, and that encourages me that I can be honest too. And yet when it comes to ourselves being open and living in relationship with other people, we find ourselves thinking, if I'm open and if I'm honest and if I'm vulnerable and if I share openly with another man, that's going to make them think less of me. Nothing could be farther from the truth. God intended that the body would work together. God intended different giftings that you all have would be meshed together, but if you are not willing to live in relationship, you cannot have that. There was a church in Saskatchewan several years ago that was experiencing the beginnings of a revival meeting, and it seemed that the church was cold, the preaching was on point, but there was not much happening until at the end of one of the services, as the invitation was given, two ladies in the church, unbeknownst to each other, stood up. One was on this side of the auditorium, one was on the other side of the auditorium, and two ladies stood up and came down to the altar, unbeknownst to themselves, coming down at the exact same time, and they met in the front of the auditorium at the altar, and when they saw each other, each burst into tears, and they embraced and began to ask for forgiveness. That sparked an openness in the church, which the invitation then just blew up. It just spilled forward, and scores of people began to come down to the aisle. The preacher who was leading the meeting did not understand what was happening, other than the fact that he knew God was at work. And the pastor later told him, he said, "Those two ladies are sisters, and they have been feuding for years. And tonight, God reconciled a relationship." Man, that's glorious. May I ask you, is this church united? Is there someone in this church that really irritates you, that bugs you, that you've been comfortable with avoiding and calling each other brother and sister? Is there someone maybe on this staff that you have gotten frustrated with and you've chosen not to go and talk with them, not to get it right? Maybe they've offended you or you felt hurt, and yet you've chosen, "I'm going to hold back. I'm going to keep my mouth shut," and you're willing to be disobedient to Matthew 18? Is it possible that there's bitterness that has begun its destructive seed in your heart towards someone in this body? Church family, why does the lost world, why would they be attracted to us unless we are known by our love? Too often, I believe that because we have not prioritized what Christ has prioritized, too often we are very comfortable and very okay with being known in our community for everything but love. Known for the fact that we've got a 20-foot cross out in front of our building. Known for the fact that we are the ones that hold to pure doctrine. Known for the fact that we dress a certain way or don't dress a certain way. Known for the fact that we have this music or don't have this music. Known for the fact that we're not like those people over on the other side of town. And we're known for everything but what Christ said. Let you be known by the fact that you love. "You are my disciples," he says. And the world will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Is there someone in this church body that you don't love? Maybe they're odd. Maybe they're strange. They got a unique way about them. Have you become comfortable with ignoring a part of the body of Christ and calling yourself a disciple of Christ? Finally, this morning, God, his priority is relationship. In Galatians chapter 6, and you don't need to turn there. I think you are familiar with this passage. But in Galatians chapter 6, God gives one of the most beautiful and perfect remedies for a church functioning together. At the beginning of that chapter, he says, if you've seen that there's been a brother that's overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. What does that mean? You which have the mind of Christ. You which are filled with the Spirit. You who are mature. Those of you who know how Christ intends for us to live. Those who are spiritual. Your responsibility is restore the hurting brother. And then it goes on to say, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You cannot restore. You cannot bear burdens. You cannot adequately function as the church of Jesus Christ if you are not living in relationship with other believers. When's the last time you bore somebody's burden? Or you heard about the family who's hurting because of a miscarriage, or a cancer diagnosis, or a father-in-law that just passed away, or the fact that dad just got arrested because he was drunk and he ran off the road, and mom is home hurting. You know what we often do in those situations? Unless you're on church staff, most of us who are in the church, you know what we often do in those situations? Yikes, that's scary. That's messy. I wouldn't know what to say, and I don't know how to say, so I'm just going to pray for them, and we never enter into the relationship that God calls us to. You cannot bear a burden from afar. The picture there is that someone is overladen with something that they have not the power to carry. And God wants you, because you love that person, to come up beside them and get underneath it with them, because that load is going to crush them. But if you can bear it with them, you can lift them. And God says, that's what I did for you, and that's what I call for you to do to each other and for each other. Fear, insecurity, or our own failures often leave us thinking, I can't do that, when God never called us to be perfect first. He called us to be honest first, to be humble first, and to seek to live in relationship with each other. Some of the sweetest places that I have ever been, ironically, aren't the ones that I always agree with theologically. But they've been the places that just loved each other. Now, am I saying that theology doesn't matter? Oh, no. Am I saying that truth doesn't matter? Oh, no. Love and truth go together. That's how Jesus is known by. And sometimes the most loving thing you can do is to just shoot straight and give someone the truth. But I want us to consider, as we come to a close this morning, does this church prioritize relationship with Him and relationship with each other like God has called us to? Do you prioritize relationship with the lost? It's amazing how many times a church is willing to go out and knock on a stranger's door to try to give them a gospel, to give them the gospel, cold call, but they're not willing to walk across their grass and help change the oil on their neighbor's car. Not on their neighbor, that'd be a little bit weird. Do you live in relationship with your neighbors? Again, how will they be open to receive your gospel message? By your love. Why did Jesus do miracles of healing? To open their hearts to the gospel. Do we live in relationship? Do we value it like Christ does? As we close, let me give you some application. If God has dealt with you about a relationship in this church that is not right, a relationship with a brother that you've become, maybe over years, just used to that being in disrepair, would you be willing to humble yourself before God, confess that sin of discord, and then go to that brother and make it right? A man just recently challenged me with this. He said, because he had this written on a plaque in his house. It was their family's core values. He said, because Christ pursued me, I will pursue others. Because Christ wants a relationship with me, I will fight for relationship with others. Would you be willing to do that as well? Another point of application. Would you be willing to bear someone else's burden even this week? When God shows you that someone is under a load, would you be willing? Though you maybe don't even know what words to say, just show up. Sometimes just show up and keep your mouth closed and just be there to love them. Would you be willing to love your neighbor as Christ prioritizes relationship? Can I ask you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes? The Spirit of God has put His finger on your heart this morning, as God has done to me several times over the last couple of weeks. Would you be willing to be honest with Him? Is there someone that you are very comfortable with being enemies with? Maybe another preacher, another church member, someone in your family. They hurt you, they wronged you, and because you don't want to get hurt again, you're just okay with just not liking them. Are you known by love like Christ has called us to? This morning, as you sit before the Lord, would you be honest with Him? Would you confess sin where God has put His finger on and said, this is wrong? Would you take the next step to restore a relationship? To make your priority what Christ prioritizes? The piano is going to play here in just a moment. And if God has dealt with you, would you right there in your seat, if you want to come to the altar, you can do that. But would you humble yourself before the Lord and take this next step? Lord, I need to be honest. Here's where I have been wrong. Lord, I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to go to that person. I'm going to pray for that person, whatever the next step is. But would you tell the Lord the next step you are going to take? As the piano plays, would you just respond to Him? Father, continue to deal with us. Continue to speak to us. Use your word, Father. And now, Lord, as we go, soften us and prepare us. Lord, would there be relationships that are changed because of your word? Thank you, Lord, for pursuing us. Thank you for loving us. And we give you the praise and the thankfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.